fight on, will Jesse. You fight Jackson. On? Keep your hand in God's hand. You fight on, will you fight on?
As with an introduction like that, I'll just be at ease. All I need to do really is just extend the invitation. It's good to be back at Sandy Lane. Good to see all of you. Good to see the many, many familiar faces. And thank God for having mentioned me in the prayer, the brother Hughes and brother Buton or Burton. Every night when I do look at the Jimmy Fallon show, I always tell my wife, the guy that plays the guitar with the pompadour, every time I see him, I relate him to Brother Burton. He's real, if you ever notice, he never looks at the camera, but he's good. And all the rest of them looks in the camera. But when you get to him, he's concentrating. And he never looks just as smooth and cool, just like Brother Burton. And my friend Prentice, you already sung the song. I don't know, Brenda, it looked like to me that song you sung that fits the lesson this morning. And it's just good to see brother, always good to see brother and sister Brown. We truly have bonded over the last 25 years and look like every year gets greater and greater. I just always have admired Brother Brown. Now, you're talking about cool. And I still quite hadn't gotten to walk. I'm still practicing. And then I've met Sister Brown over the years, and beautiful family, beautiful family. And then we shared with each other our findings and our doings. But one thing for sure, Brother Brown and I do, we preach the same gospel. And I'm glad that God is still adding to his body. And I want to say to the new convert, Brother Brown was pointing out to me, Sister, you have done the right thing. May you grow in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now I would like for you, thank you for praying for us. When we left Georgia, it rained, and it rained on us all the way. God is still on the throne. Amen. Turn with me now, of course we arrived safely, to Mark, the 10th chapter. And my wife told me, whatever you do, don't be up there all the morning. And I said, yes, ma'am. So I won't be up here all the morning. Brother Brian, exactly. Turn with me now to Mark 10:46. And they came, when you find it, say amen. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. For the next few moments, I want you to visualize, along with Brother Brian and I, perhaps we have preached this lesson numerous of times. Jesus had left Berea, crossed the Jordan, coming to Jericho en route to Jerusalem. Now, this is his last week, and I want you to notice the goodness and mercy that Jesus possessed. He knows, in fact, in Matthew, it said, Jerusalem is the place, Prentice, where the prophets are killed. So Jesus is now en route to be killed in Jerusalem. He's en route so that he might fulfill the scriptures. But as he leaves Jericho with his entourage, it was customarily, Prentice, that the blind would sit by the gate holding their vessels so that people would, if I may, bless them. When the crowd drew near to blind Bartimaeus, now, Bartimaeus, along with others, mostly, it was customary that if a person was blind, their chances of working were very, very limited. They were unable to see. So the only thing the people would do, Brother Brown, is bring them and sit them at the entrance of a city. And even Jesus said long ago to Moses that now, when you have the opportunity, give to those that are less fortunate. Now be careful on that, because you know as well as I know every city that we have gone to, you're always going to see some people or have signs. I don't know if they have this in Richmond, but they have the sign that says, "We'll work for food." Now you use your own discretion, and I think the blues singer said a long time ago, everybody plays the fool sometimes. Now use your own discretion whether or not you want to give and allow the spirit. But like these men, Bartimaeus was sitting by the gate. Here comes Jesus with his entourage, and Bartimaeus, with that influx of people, Bartimaeus was he was curious. He inquired, what's going on? All of these people, what's happening? And finally somebody said, Jesus. Now I want you to visualize Bartimaeus. Jesus! Jesus! But he didn't stop there. Thy son of David. And the crowd saying, hush. He doesn't have time. You know, his disciples did the children like that. When the children came, disciples said, look, don't cause him to deviate from his schedule now. And Jesus said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And the more the people began or tried to silence Bartimaeus, the louder He got. Subject. What did the blind man see? Printers, number one. I want you to notice this now. The blind man saw more than those that could see physically. They're saying, shut up. But I want you to notice something. And this is what amazed me. When the Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus, the disciples said, get back. He doesn't have time for you. Not prostify. You're not really one of us. And she said, Lord, watch what she said. Thou son of David. Now, when she said, thou son of David, Jesus sort of backed up. Why? You are not authorized to use the phrase son of David. Why? The phrase son of David was only given the rights to Israel. Only. And when she said, son of David, Jesus slightly ignored her. But then she didn't stop there. She said, Lord. And when she said, Lord, Jesus. Oh, that tells me something. When you get on your knees to pray, pray. You don't have to use no flashing words. Lord, my Savior, I humbly just go on and pray. Amen. You don't have to go all out to go up north to use a word this long. Just be yourself and pray. And make sure that your heart is in tune with your words. Now, when Bartimaeus said, Lord Jesus, comma, thy son of David, Jesus stopped. Now they're steadily saying, hush. Notice, let's go back to the Syrophoenician woman. When she said, Lord Jesus, and the disciples saying, you know, they were always on point. I appreciate that. You just couldn't get to him. Stop. Wait a minute. He doesn't have time for you. And she fell in the prone position and said, Lord. So finally Jesus stopped and said, lady, it's not fit to take the crumbs up from the children, the bread, and feed to the dogs. I don't believe she was a sister. And princess, the reason I don't believe she was a sister is because when you call that sister a dog, I believe that sister would have done that head work, gave him the hand, and said, I'm not going to be nobody's dog. But instead, this lady humbly said, yea, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Jesus looking. Huh? Lady, because of your humility, because of what you just said, go your way, for your daughter is healed. Yes, sir. Let's come back to blind Bartimaeus. The crowd constantly, as we said, trying to hush him up. Blind Bartimaeus, Lord, son of David. It's So Jesus stops. Get him over here. Notice what Bartimaeus did. First thing he did, pulled off his coat. David said, not David, Moses said, when the blind are there and they have their garment, Moses said, don't take their garments because of the night dew that's going to fall. Let them keep their garments. But when Jesus said, get him over here, blind Bartimaeus got everything out of the way that could possibly retard and hold him up. Point number one. Whatever you do, thank you, lady. Thank you, sister. The new convert. Move people and things out of your way that will hinder you from coming to Christ. Number two, what did blind Bartimaeus see? Blind Bartimaeus saw opportunity. Little did blind Bartimaeus know that Jesus was on his way through Jericho, leaving Jericho, going to Jerusalem. And Brother Brian, this is it, because he will not come along there. Never again. So blind Bartimaeus not knowing that. But when they told him it was Jesus, so then faith cometh by hearing. I heard about you. I can't see you, but I heard that you raised the dead. I heard that you gave sight to the blind. Y'all saying hush, but this is my opportunity. Jesus, the son of David. Y'all better get out of my way. When you're sitting by somebody, and now if Brother Brian has taught you all to be quiet, be quiet. But when you're sitting by somebody, and they want to, this morning when Prentice was showing up singing that song, I saw a few of the people getting into it. Keep on singing, Prentice. Sometimes people will say, we don't do that here. Now, you don't know who watching you. And when I say you don't know who watching, when people see you expressing your joy, giving God the glory, and giving God the praise, because I tell you, when you're in the club, nobody tell you to sit down. Why is it that when you get to God's house, now when you see people, I went to a congregation, I obeyed the gospel, and I guess I was about 2 years old. And when I arrived, 2 years old in the gospel now. Praise God. Let me get that straight. And I went to this particular congregation in this large city, and I said, amen. And the lady looked back, and I said again, amen. And she looked back again. Well, about 2 minutes later, I said, amen. She literally just turned and propped. Now, what she was signaling, we don't do that here. Well, since nobody told me, I just kept saying, amen. Preach. I went to another congregation, and I said, amen. See, when you're preaching, I'm only going to say amen. And when I finished, the preacher walked out, shook my hand, and said, quote, I appreciate those amens. Now, when you're sitting by somebody, Prentice, and Burton, is it Burton or Burton? Burton says, amen. Well, now, Burton, Prentice, don't hit him. Because somebody over here may want to, the young new convert, she might think, Lord, if I had died in my sins, look how long I would have been in hell. Lord, if I had died in my sins, look what would have happened to my family. Lord, if I had died. So since somebody came along, taught her, what must I do to be saved? And she obeyed the gospel. And now, when Burton and Prentice come in here singing, if anybody clap her hand. Now, when she claps her hand, don't stop her, because she's rejoicing. She's reminiscing of last year this time. I was dead in my sins and didn't even realize it. Last year, this time, I was out in darkness, and now I'm here where the truth is being taught. And now you mean to tell me, Burton saying, we don't do that here. That really make her want to wait a minute. And the story was told, Brother Brown, of this lady. Everybody was very sophisticated, supposedly, in this particular congregation. And the lady came in that morning, and she said, amen. And so when the service was over, the preacher went to her. He said, ma'am, we appreciate your presence, but if you will, don't say amen. He said, in fact, I'll tell you what. It was cold. He said, I'll give you an electric blanket if you just keep you cool and don't say amen. Well, the next service came. And the preacher was preaching the truth. And she said, ah! Preacher said a few more things. She said, So finally she said, blanket or no blanket, amen. Now what she was saying, I am testifying, I am in agreement with the truth. Now here, Bartimaeus is crew. See, number three, sometimes you got to leave the people that you've been running with. Because if you're not sharp, they'll either hold you back or pull you back. Sometimes you need to leave your old friends. And sometimes you even need to leave your family. Because they're your worst critics. You mean to tell me you're going over there to that sandy, whatever they call it, lane or sandy dust, Church of Christ? Don't you know that God is at Mount Moriah? Just like he is over there. And I agree, God is everywhere. But the difference is, we don't worship at Sandy Lane like we do at Mount Moriah. At Sandy Lane, we have been taught to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. If we cannot prove it, we don't use it. At Sandy Lane, we go back, and I get to Bartimaeus a minute, because the young lady had me a little excited just having obeyed the gospel. I go back, Brother Brown, way back when God looked down, and from Genesis 1 to Genesis 11, the people was just at random. And how well, Brother Brown, do you know this? And the people were doing their own thing. If a man wanted one wife, he'd get her. If he wanted 100 wives, he'd get her. And God was tolerating that, not associating, but tolerating. And then Abraham came, and he reached down, and from Abraham, he called Abraham from the Chaldean generation. And from Abraham, God's plan started. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot the 12. And from the 12 came the United Nation of Israel. And God told Moses, he said, now, I have chosen you above all nations on the face of the earth. Why? Because you are one of the promise that I made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How many did he choose? He chose just one. And let me tell you, that one became the church in the wilderness. He's always had one. We'll get to part two on that at the end. We preach Christ. Bartimaeus, surrounded by his everyday people. Bartimaeus, surrounded by those that are with Jesus. And when Bartimaeus said, is that who you said is? Jesus. Immediately Bartimaeus lost it. You have to lose it the right way. And when he began to call Jesus, and Jesus said, get him over here. Jesus said, now, what do you want with me? Now, let me ask y'all something. Do you think Jesus didn't know? Now, that lets me know something, Brentis. Jesus wants us to express our heart. Do you know that Jesus literally awaits our request so that we can fulfill our request? So that we can tell others that he's a mighty good God. Listen. He, in the blind man, he saw that the need to exercise faith, confidence, and boldness. Why? Why? Because, brothers and sisters, he had to exercise that because he said, I've been blind. I don't know how long he was blind, but I heard about this man. I heard that he was able to raise the dead. So since I have this opportunity, visitors, when you hear the word, don't pass the word up. I'll be back next week, maybe, maybe not. Since I've seen you all, last year we had our 50th high school class reunion. While we were yet at the reunion, another member passed. Few weeks later, another member passed. 50 years, listen to me good. When the opportunity to come to Christ avails itself, don't tell yourself, I'll be back. Maybe you will. Maybe you won't. When those children the other day left home down in Florida, in Parkland, Florida, they didn't leave home not to come back. Even though they were babies, but you still have foolish people out there with nothing on their mind. And we've just been blessed because God has his hedge around us. This is why I love him, and I can't help but appreciate, brethren, I can't help but appreciate, Prince, the song, with What Will I Do Without Him? And when opportunity avails itself, come. What did the blind man see? The blind man saw something that those who could see. The blind man saw that I have a need for Jesus. But the world sometimes is so into what the world is into that they don't feel that they have a need. Not right now. But blind Bartimaeus, not knowing that this is Jesus' last time coming along there in the flesh. So what blind Bartimaeus did, he seized the opportunity to make sure that Jesus would hear him. Don't let nobody stop you. When the invitation is sung, don't just sit there. Well, it's too many on this side. It's too many on that side. If you wave your hand, Brother Brian and I would knock chairs out the way just to get to you. Why? Because that's the preacher's duty. It's the preacher's duty to preach the word to people, enabling them and to know how to go from earth to glory. The closer Jesus drew near, the louder Bartimaeus became. Point. Brother Brown, sometimes a person can have eyes and still blind. Sometimes people can be labeled as smart, excel in certain areas, high IQ. And when it comes to talking about the word, they don't have time for it. When it comes to talking about the word, first thing they say, I'm a good person. And I got news for you, Sandra Lane. When you observe people, you're going to find that more people, in fact, it's a little over 7 billion people in this world. I had to do a survey of the Church of Christ not many years ago. And the survey showed there were only 5.3 million members in this country. Since that time, it has dwindled. Today, statistics reveal there's 1.6 million members of the Church of Christ in this country. Sister Brian, where are they going? They are going where they're doing the praise dance. They're doing, now that singing this morning, and maybe it's because I'm just into the truth. But that singing this morning, it doesn't get any better than that. Brother Brian leaned over and said, Brother Jack, we are the best because the best give us the best. And they were sure enough sounding the best. Now, you mean to tell me you're going to mess that up with piano? Now, but they're leaving because of the piano. They're leaving because of various reasons. When opportunity avails itself, whatever you do, seize the opportunity. Listen to me. Today, people are blind to the truth, but they can see it the world's way. When one call on Jesus, one thing about Jesus, he always have time. I heard David say in Psalms 34:6, the Bible said the blind man called him and he heard his cry and delivered him from all of his troubles. Blind Bartimaeus calling on Jesus. But now when you call on Jesus, just like blind Bartimaeus gave up his coat, brothers and sisters, that means we got to give up our partying. Give up our dancing. Good old times and drinking together. You can come drink with me every Sunday morning as we partake of the Lord's Supper. You see, you want to raise the question. If you're going to drink and do all this, you ought to raise the question. If there is no flesh and blood in heaven, why are you going to drink your way out of the world? You got to look at what God did now. God is from eternity to eternity. And in the middle of that, he made something called the world. And he gave man a chance. And we'll talk about that later. All sorts of worldly things are not valuable. What did the blind man see? The blind man saw boldness. You're not going to stop me. Some of you all probably are authoritative figures. But when I hear Jesus, you're not going to stop me. I'm going to enact boldness. And I'm going to call, the more you tell me to hush, the louder I'm going to get. I'm going to get his attention. I heard about him, but now I have the opportunity to experience it myself. What did the blind man see? He saw the necessity of persistence. What did the blind man see? He saw the necessity of consistency. What did the blind man see? He saw the necessity of removing obstacles out of your way. That coat had to go. What did the blind man see? Listen, Brother Brown, he pulled off the coat. If you come to Jesus, you got to pull off something. I heard him say, just as I am. Now, when you come to Jesus, ma'am, with all due respect, you cannot dance on the right foot and bend the right knee. A dancing foot and a bending and a praying knee just don't work together. It's like oil and water. They are going to separate themselves. You must realize, brothers and sisters, the son of David, meaning the guy when Jesus said, what do you want with me? I want you to give me sight. Well, when Jesus healed him, David said in Psalms 119 and verse 71, David said, it did me good to be afflicted. Now I can cling. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, when we go through a spell of sickness and we come out on the other side real good, while we were lying flat on our back, and even the doctor began to shake his head. And you know that it was only Jesus brought you through. When you get up from that sick bed, you'll look back and say, now I'm going to stop saying and doing some of the things I used to do. Why? Because that affliction caused me to be a new person. When I, long ago, over 65 years ago, my granddaddy had a mule, and that mule some days was sorry. My granddaddy would get his bridle, and he would go in the lot, and sometimes he would hold the bridle up, and the mule would walk straight to it. Other times he would hold it up, and the mule would just circle. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Circle the lot. So this particular day, the mule just didn't want to work. And when my granddaddy brought him out He snatched the noose. And as he was running, the path that he was running had a curve in it. But there was, they had a pit bull named Nail. Now, I don't know whether you know about it, but a pit bull is crazy. They are. And when the mule came around the curve, Nail leaped up, caught the mule in his nostrils. And the mule went all up in the air. But Nail was holding on. Mule shook his head. Nail was still holding on. Finally, somebody said, the mule got out on his paw. They said the mule was praying. Then they had to get there and tell Nail to release him. Then my granddaddy put the bridle back on the mule. And the mule acted like he wanted to ply the whole field then. You see, that affliction caused him, princes, to be a better mule. Sometime affliction, I want you to see what David said. Meet me, if you will, to Psalms 119. Prentice, if you will, please, Psalm 119. And meet me at verse number 71. And then I'm going to show you what the blind man said. All right, Prentice, it's good for what?
It is good for me that I have been afflicted.
Prentice, look what he said. It's good. Lord, you didn't have to bring me through what you did. The blind man, Jesus could have gone another route. But look at the blind man and look what David said. It's good. What, Prentice?
It is good for me that I have been afflicted.
It's good for me that I have been afflicted. Read.
That I might learn thy statutes.
That I might now know what you had me, would have me to do. When the blind man received his sight, did you think he said, well, I really appreciate it. I'm going on back with the fellows over here and brag about it. I can see. No, ma'am, and no, sir. What the blind man did, he joined the crowd. And guess what he did? Follow Jesus. Since you gave me sight, now I'm going to see how to go. I'm going to follow the one that said, I am the way. So the blind man said, now, I've been afflicted for a long time, but since you were kind enough to show me and give me and enable me to go on my own, I'm going to follow you. Notice this now. When we obey the gospel, we ought not to forsake the assembly. We ought to be the assembly every time the door opens, if we possibly can. Why? That's why the writer said, not forsaking the assembly, as the manner of some is. Plus, Jesus began to say, help those that are less fortunate. I believe that the blind man, now that I can see, I believe that I have a message for other blind folk. And that another message is, you need to call on the one that gave me sight. Brothers and sisters, every one of us ought to have a message. Well, Brother Jackson, I've never been afflicted. Then you sure enough ought to have a message. And your message is, God is good to me. God has been good to me for a long time. Why is he good to you? For you to brag about how healthy you are? No. But for you to help those that are less fortunate. Look at the blind man. Look at his attitude. Now, I was blind. When Jesus and his entourage, in this case, his disciples, were coming in, and there was this man that was blind in John 9. Jesus, his disciples said, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents? Now, that was the custom, that if you are afflicted, then you are sin, you sin somewhere, or your parents. At least that's what they thought. Jesus had to prove. Jesus said, neither. But some things, if I may say it shortly, are left just for me to do. So the people can see me. So then you know the story when Jesus put the spit on the ground and made the clay. Wasn't very sanitary, but it was Jesus. Put the clay on his eyes and told him to go wash. And he came, and when they saw him going around, they got the Pharisees to him. And the Pharisees came to him and said, aren't you the one that was blind? He said, yes. He said, who did it? The fellow said, now, I don't know. All I know is that I was blind, but now I see. Well, they still didn't want to buy it. Send for his parents. Is this your child? Yes. You sure? Yes. Tell us about him. The parents say, he's of age. He can talk for himself. Now, let me tell you why they said that. They preferred being in the synagogue. In other words, son, you on your own now. You still have people that run, and we're talking about blind Bartimaeus, that rather run with the crowd. You still have people that do not want to be labeled as a Christian so they can be accepted by what they call the high echelon. You still have people that rather have a good time than have a righteous time. So finally, after about three times, they raised the question. They said, now tell us again. He said, I done told you once. I'm going to tell you again. He said, I don't know who he was. All I know is that I once was blind, but now I see. Church, all of us at one time, once was blind. We all ought to have a testimony. And when opportunity knocks your way, regardless of what it is, when opportunity knocks your way, if we have the opportunity, if we have the privilege of doing somebody good in Christ, we ought to move. This morning, there may be some of you that having trouble making up your mind. If you do, now is the time for you to stop. Look at blind Bartimaeus. People are still trying to hinder you. You know, people will even make light of you becoming a Christian now. You mean to tell me you didn't have anything better to do than go out there and be baptized? Oh, man. What are we going to do about the women? What are we going to do about the men? They all have some type of stumbling block. What are we going to do? You mean to tell me we are not any more drinking buddies? We're not any more pot smoking. Oh, man, you just messed things up. I thought we were going to Washington a week after next. Now what? Let me tell you something. When you come to Christ, whatever you do, don't you hold your head down. That's the greatest act that you can ever do. When you put Christ on in baptism, it doesn't get any better than that. He may not give you a brand new house and a house on the hill and a brand new Cadillac. No, you didn't get in there for that. And if you did, just stay in there a little while longer. You will find out that he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. I don't have this. I don't have that. But such as I have, I'm content. That's what Paul meant when he said, not that I speak in respect of want, not that I'm complaining, but I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. All you need to do is do like the lady did a few days ago, a few weeks ago. Hear how Christ died for you. He paid a ransom that we couldn't pay. And people still are saying, I don't believe that. That's your business. I do. Paul said, here's my point. I know what I believe. Make sure you know what you believe. I believe that Christ died, was buried, but he rose from the dead. I believe that Christ, listen to me good, I believe that Christ is from eternity to eternity. Yes, sir. And anytime you can get up from the dead, you somebody. Yes, sir. He died for us. He didn't die because of sin. He died for our sin. Make sure you believe that. Make up in your mind that you're going to turn from the world. You cannot enter in glory raggedy. You're going to turn from the world, from right, from wrong to right. You're going to grow in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And then you're going to confess, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then you'll be willing to be buried with him in the watery grave of baptism. And when you come up out of the water, the Bible says he will give you the gift. What is the gift? He will give you eternal life. He will give you something to even guide you into all truth. And it's called the Holy Spirit. For those of you who have done that, but you've erred, you come back by repentance, confession, and prayer. If you want to be saved, now come. If you want to be restored, now come. As we all together stand and sing our song of invitation.
Careless, oh, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation, or prepared to meet the God? Careless soul, oh,
the warning,
for your light will soon be gone.
Oh, I said
to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God.
I want you to just concentrate on this part. Can you imagine Jesus walking and all the crowd behind him? And he exits the city, and there a group of blind men. And for some reason, the crowd, there's an influx of people this day, which caused Bartimaeus to say, What's going on? And he just happened to hear the name Jesus. And when he did, he lost it. I like that. Why don't you continue talking with the group? The group, just like me, they need Jesus. My point, all of your buddies and all of your drinking friends and all of your smoking friends and all of your clandestine friends and all of your friends that do the hideous acts in the midnight hour, but you call it fun, cast them off. And come to Jesus as we sing our next stanza.
Why so thoughtless are you standing while the fleeting years go by?
Oh, now's the time.
And your life is spent in folly. Oh, prepare to meet the God. Careless soul, Lord, the warning.